Ross, and I'm here with Jamie Arrowsmith, and we're looking forward to the Sudbury Symphony Orchestra's February 2nd concert. So we want to welcome you to a Viennese New Year's celebration. What do we want to listen for in this concert?
I think in this concert we want to listen for what I would describe as the traditional elements of Viennese music, because so much of what's on the program stems from traditional Viennese dances. The waltz, for example, a very famous Viennese dance. But the Viennese waltz is different from just your standard the standard waltz that we might be familiar with. For example, I think most of us are familiar with the fact that a waltz is a three-step. One, two, three.
Sure.
One, two, three. Yeah. But in Vienna, the three-step gets shuffled a little bit. The second beat of those three beats gets pushed towards the beginning. So instead of a straightforward one, two, three, one, two, three, what we get is one, two, three, one, two, three,
okay.
One, two, three. And that's a very traditional stylistic thing about the Viennese waltz. It gets people moving. It keeps people on their toes
right.
Just a little bit more.
That's that Viennese swing, I think, that we hear about sometimes. Yeah. Is there a particular piece that has this aspect to it on the program?
Yes, in fact, maybe the piece that I would use as the best example, which encompasses so much of the stylistic elements of Viennese music, would be the very first piece on the program, which is the overture to Strauss's operetta Die Fledermaus, which means the bat. And in this overture, we get a preview of all of the tunes, all of the important tunes that are coming up in the operetta, some of which we'll hear on the concert as well. But he does highlight this Viennese waltz. It's very prominent within the overture. And the way that it's worked into the operetta, the way that it's worked into the arias, is reflected in the overture as well. And so we're going to hear, in this excerpt coming up, a very good example of a Viennese waltz worked into the overture for Die Fledermaus. Favorite piece from the operetta, which we will be performing on our concert, is the overture. It's got just the right amount of everything. You hear the Viennese waltz throughout. You hear little bits of the other arias that are to come, but it's always very exciting. It's just the right amount of every part of the opera, sort of put together and previewed for us, and it's got a lot of excitement and a lot of contrast. And it's a lot of fun to play and to listen to.
So, Jamie, I understand that you've been to Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
So, did that shape your feeling about this music? Is it music that's relevant today? Because we know it feels historical, but, you know, is it relevant today?
It is. Well, it is historical, but it's absolutely relevant. And, I have been fortunate enough to travel to Vienna. And to me, it was so fascinating and really wonderful to see the way that the people of that city celebrate their musical heritage. I mean, there's a statue of Strauss, a gold statue, right in front of the concert hall where the Vienna Philharmonic still plays his music, of Strauss holding his violin. And there are statues of Brahms and other Viennese composers in the parks around the city. And it's just fascinating to me that these people take their musical history and heritage so seriously. It's a lot of fun. And so for me, having been to Vienna and hearing these tunes, you know, sung by people in the streets, and seeing how closely they sit with this music and how closely they keep it to themselves. To me, it's really interesting, and the fact that, you know, we as an audience sometimes tend to think, you know, this music was written a long time ago and it's on paper and we just sit up and play it and you sit and listen and clap at the end and that's it. And that is really not the case, especially with this music. It is really lively. As I said, it's meant to get people moving and dancing, and you cannot help but feel that when you hear it. And the fact that people in Vienna still dance to this music and it's played all the time, the fact that this music encompasses so much of the folk history, not just in Vienna, but of the entire Austria-Hungarian Empire, which encompasses, as you know, a lot of cultural elements, which are worked into to some of the music that we're going to listen to this evening.
Are there some specific cultural elements that you're saying different cultures that were in the Austro-Hungarian Empire? Are there any examples of that in the music?
It's a fascinating part of their history that, you know, some of these pieces, for example, the Light Cavalry Overture was written at around the time that Hungary was being absorbed into the Austrian Empire. And so it became quite fashionable, particularly among the upper class of Viennese society, to want to listen to and get to know Hungarian traditional music, gypsy music. And so you get, for example, in the Light Cavalry Overture, there is, you know, at one point in the middle of the piece, there is a Hungarian-style lament, which is very slow, very heavy, kind of Eastern European gypsy-sounding motif, which when we listen to, you will hear, has got this very distinctive Hungarian sort of gypsy element.
So if you're in Vienna, there's a river running through, right? I guess, and this is one of the pieces that we really think of with Strauss, right? It's so you know, ever present. You hear this everywhere. The Blue Danube Waltz, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there was one piece on the program that everyone would recognize right away, it would be this one. The Blue Danube Waltz has just become such a part of musical culture. And everyone has been exposed to this piece in some way or another, maybe without even realizing it, because if it's reach in pop culture. And, you know, if you do ever get the chance to sit in Vienna along the riverbank and just watch the river go by, you know, you see the waves in the river lapping up against the retaining walls in the city, and you see the boats sailing down, and you see people walking along enjoying it. And you really can almost hear that music going through your head, the way the river kind of meanders through the city. And that the way that Strauss brings, you know, these watery elements to the music, you know, you get waves, you get people walking along the shore, you get boats sailing along, and you get some rough water every once in a while. It's really ingenious, but it is such a, as you said, such an important piece, not just in the history of Viennese music, but I think a really popular one because of its enduring, you know, beauty and quality, but also because of the pictures that it evokes.
Big part of this concert is the presence of Brian Jackson on the podium. He's going to be back with the symphony, and we always have a great time when he's in town, don't we?
This seems like the perfect concert for Brian to be conducting, because not only is the music effervescent and fun and boisterous, but so is Brian.
Yeah,
he has a way of bringing the happiness out of music to people in a way that is really unique, and he's got just a relaxed and fun manner on stage. I think that, and he loves this kind of music. There's no doubt that he loves this music. So having him conduct this music will, I think, be just another enhancing element to this concert, because he and the music, I think, are very well matched.
There's also some love in this concert too. I think I see the title "Love Unspoken" for one of the pieces. This is a very beautiful duet, I understand. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a beautiful duet. And again, some of the lilting qualities of Viennese, of Austrian music can be found in this duet as well. But it is, again, a very subdued, very tender moment on the program. Mm. We are very fortunate to have our two guest soloists, Tim and Taylor, our two singers, who will be helping us to enjoy this very festive occasion. This whole program isn't just a lot of boisterous dancing music. There is some tenderness here as well, which I think is very well reflective of Viennese music from the late 19th century. And again, another example of why this music is so relevant and still enjoyed today.
What would you say the audience will be left with after this concert? What are we going to get out of this?
Well, I would hope that the audience comes away with, first of all, that they had a great time and were brought to moving a little bit in their seats by some of this music, and I don't think you can help but do that. But I hope that they come away with the idea that, you know, whether you get a chance to go visit these places or not, this music still evokes imagery, and it still evokes emotion, and it's still very important, especially to the people who have grown up with it and who live with it every day. So I would hope that an audience member would come away with a sense that this music is a living, breathing thing, and that we should always remember that when we listen to it, and therefore get a lot more enjoyment out of it, because we know that it's still very relevant to them.
Nick Ross, here with Jamie Arrowsmith, and we look forward to seeing you on February 2nd for the Sudbury Symphony Orchestra's Viennese New Year celebration.